All right, if we can find our seats, we will begin here. Well, I want to welcome everybody again to Temple Baptist Church. My name is Julian Solis. I'm the discipleship pastor here, and I am so glad to worship with you here this morning. What a time we've had in seeking our Lord together in prayer. What a time that we've had in singing to the Lord with gospel-rich songs. And now let's turn to God's Word together as we hear a word from the Lord. We have been going through our DNA sermon series, and I have been really enjoying this sermon series. As we think about what is the DNA of Temple Baptist Church, we're looking at what are the core values of Temple Baptist Church. What are the main things that we believe, that we live out and hope to live out as Temple Baptist Church? If you were to cut a knife or get a knife and cut into Temple Baptist Church, I pray that we would bleed these values. Well, what are the main things that we want to hold to as a church? One, we want to love the gospel. Two, we want to grow in community. And three, we want to live on mission. Love the gospel, grow in community, and live on mission. If as a church we held to these core values together, what do you think could happen to our families? What do you think could happen to our community? As a church, if we are united on these core values, I believe we can turn this town upside down. So I am really excited about this sermon series, and I'm happy to look at living on mission with you here today. Last week, Pastor Brady, he laid a foundation for us as he began to tell us what it means to live on mission. And from the scripture, we saw exactly what the call is for each and every single believer to live on mission. We centered that understanding on Matthew chapter 28. And if you remember Matthew chapter 28, this is post-death, post-resurrection Jesus speaking to the apostles, and he's saying them right before he ascends and goes to heaven, he says to them, "All authority is given unto me." The Great Commission doesn't begin with a command. It begins with this statement, "All authority has been given unto me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And guess what? I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That was the commission for the apostles. And guess what, church? Temple Baptist Church, that is our mission as well. If we're going to be united around the mission of God, it begins with that great passage. And last week, if you haven't heard that message, I want to invite you to go back and look up that message online. It lays the foundation for what we're going to be covering here today in part two of living on mission. Well, before we jump into the text, I want to begin with a confession of my own. Now, I know we've already had a time of confession, but I want to begin by sharing with you a confession of my own. That's the call for every Christian. That's the call for every church, to live on mission for the Lord. But I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I forget that mission. Sometimes as a Christian myself, I'm not always putting God before myself. I'm not always thinking of the Great Commission. I'm not always willing and ready to go and proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm a little timid, and sometimes I just simply forget that my purpose is to make disciples, to live on mission, and to give God glory with all of my life. I don't know if there's anybody here in this room that maybe feels a little bit like I do. If that's you, then I think our text today will help us. You know, one of the common problems that we have as a church is that we can easily forget our purpose and our calling. We can forget the mission that God has for us. And I think Sometimes we forget because we get caught up with the busyness of life. Some of you are in school right now, and that's preoccupying your time. Some of you, you're working longer hours right now. Work is getting heavy. Life is getting much. And kids are needing you to take them to practice, take them to the recitals. You need to go here and there. And the busyness of life is just catching up with us. And sometimes we forget about the mission. Sometimes we have maybe a circumstance where our hearts are troubled. Maybe some of us, we go to the doctor and we get some news that we were not expecting. Trouble comes our way. Circumstances lead us to a place where we forget about the mission because our hearts are heavy with trouble. Sometimes we forget about the mission because of good old-fashioned temptation. Sometimes there's a competing desire or a competing beauty that allures us and takes our eyes of the riches and the beauty of Jesus Christ and the great privilege that we have as believers and followers of Christ to live for Christ. But I want to tell you, no matter if it's the world, the flesh, or devil, the devil himself, we can easily forget to live on mission. But I think a passage like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's incredibly helpful for us because in a passage like this, we find a reminder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we remind a reminder of our identity in Christ and our reminder of the mission that God has called us to. So if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's going to be our text here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll look at verses 14 through 21 together. And as you make your way there, I want to share with you our big idea. If there's anything that you can take away from this service this morning, I want you to take away this. Dear Christian, dear believer, dear follower of Christ, be reminded that you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. If you are a Christian, if your hope and your trust is in Jesus Christ, be reminded that you're not only a follower of Christ, but you are also an ambassador. We're going to look at what that means here in our text this morning. So if you have 2 Corinthians open, I would like to read for us 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. The Word of God reads as follows. For the love of Christ controls us. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died, that's Jesus, for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Blessed be the reading of God's word. So here's the first thing that we see here. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Corinthian church. And in his dealings with the Corinthian church in this letter, he's showing them that he has no problem of reminding them of the gospel. He has no problem of reminding them of why he serves them as the church. He has no problem of reminding them that he lives on mission. You see, the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 14, that he is controlled by the love of Jesus Christ. What controls his life? What directs his life? What gives his life aim? It's the love of Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why. The love of Christ literally knocked him off his horse. You can find that out in Acts chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul was converted, but he was met by the love of God, and his life could never be the same. For Paul and for his band of missionaries, his life was out of control. And his life outside of Christ was a life that he lived for himself. It was a life where he said, "Let my will be done." It was a life where he set a path, his own agenda. But when he met Christ, when he met the love of Christ, he had to bow the knee. He had to no longer say, "My will be done," but he said, "Lord, let your will be done." And so, Paul, why do you give up yourself tirelessly to the Corinthians? Why do you keep ministering to those band of misfits? It's because of the love of Christ controls me. I cannot help but to live on mission. Paul, he references the basis of that in the next phrase when he talks about the death of Christ. He says, listen, because Jesus Christ has died, all believers together in him also die. This is a profound truth, dear Christian. This is from a doctrine that we acknowledge as the union that we have with Christ, our identity in Christ. You find about it here in 2 Corinthians, also in Romans chapter 6. And Paul is essentially saying, you know, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, remember when he died and was murdered upon the cross? His death was so significant so that when believers die in him, their old man is dead and they have new life in him. This is profound. This is so amazing, so interesting that when you think about the cross of Christ, you look at that cross and you see in a mirror yourself. Yourself outside of Christ, that person is now dead. But now together with him, just as he is raised to new life, so too we are raised with him to new life. The life that we now live, we live for God. If we can grasp this doctrine, how we are dead in Christ, then we can say, along with Paul, I cannot help but be controlled by this great love. I cannot help but to live for the Lord and his mission. In verse 15, we see that this means that we can no longer live for ourselves. The life that we lived outside of Christ, we lived for ourselves. But to be found in Christ, to die in Christ, and to have life in Christ means that that old man, in all of its ways, all of his ways, is now dead. I no longer live for myself, but I live for someone else. And everything that he loves, I love. Everything that he treasures, I treasure. His mission becomes my mission. And just as God is glorified in redeeming the lost, seeking the lost, so too is my joy, is my privilege to love and to seek after the lost. But as I mentioned in the beginning, we're tempted to go back and live for ourselves again. We're tempted to forget the mission that's before us. We're tempted to forget who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if you died with Christ and you live in Christ, then you have a new identity as someone who is who belongs to Jesus Christ. This is why Paul says in verse 17, that all those who are in Christ, their old man has passed away, and behold, they are new creatures. They are a new creation in Jesus Christ. So for each and every single person here that's in Christ Jesus, let me ask you this question. Do you think of yourself in that way? Do you regard yourself as someone who is new and made new? Do you reflect back on your past and you say, that is the old Julian. That person is someone who was lost, who lived for himself and did not know the love of God. But now as I stand in Christ Jesus and I stand before the Word of God, as the Word of God tells me who I am in Christ, do I live as a new creature? Do I live like a new creation made new in Christ Jesus? If you are a believer in Christ, if Christ is your trust, your hope, your all, this is the good news for you. This is the good news that in Him we have a fresh and clean slate. We have new beginnings. We have mercies made new for us each and every morning. You know, last week when Brady was preaching, one of the things that really impacted me as we looked at the Great Commission, and as he helped tie into my purpose and my calling in the Great Commission and the salvation that we have in Christ, he mentioned three significant things. He said that if you are called, then you are also commissioned. If you are adopted, then you are also assigned. If you are saved, then God is sending you out. That's good. So good I had to say it twice. But if you are called, if God has called you to himself, he's called you to himself so that you would know him and that you would live for him. And in living for him, you live on his mission. You are commissioned to go out, proclaim Christ, and make disciples. If you are adopted, if he says to you, beloved, you are now my adopted daughter. If he says to you, you are my adopted son. Then he also says to you, you are also assigned. Well, where is my assignment, Lord? It's your home. It's your friends. It's your family. It's your communities. I've put you there where I have you this season for the purpose that you would represent me and reflect me. If you have been saved, if you've been saved from an eternal separation from God to now life with God and in God, then you're also saved for the purpose of being sent out. God is sending you out and he's saying, go, go, live on mission. Go make disciples. Now, I want you to see this same idea that we saw last week. It's here in our passage as well in verse 18. Notice what Paul says in verse 18. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, if you have been reconciled to Christ, to God through Christ, if you are reconciled to God, then you also have a ministry. You have the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, sometimes we may think, well, that's stuff that pastors do, right? They're about ministry. Listen, every believer in Jesus Christ is a part of the priesthood of God. And all of us have the responsibility of ministry. And our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. When you think about reconciliation, there is the assumption that there are two parties that are at odds. Two parties that have been estranged. And in order for reconciliation to happen, you need someone to come in there and bring peace. Bring peace to those two parties. And this is what Christ does for us in his work. Through his work upon the cross, God makes available for man and God to be at peace with one another. God reconciles us through Christ to himself. That's the experience we have as believers in Jesus Christ. At one time, we were at odds with God, living for ourselves, going our way, saying, my will be done. But now through Christ, we have a relationship with him. We're made new. And if that were not enough, he gives us a ministry. He says, now I want you to not only share in the joy of knowing me, of knowing a new life in me, but now I want to give you the joy of telling all others about this ministry of reconciliation. That's good news. Amen? That's good news. This good news, it's found all throughout the New Testament. We read about it over and over and all of its glorious implications. But it's also here in our text. In verse 19 and also in verse 21, Paul says this. Verse 19, he says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And get this, not counting their trespasses against them. In verse 21, he says, for our sake, he made him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. What we see in the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is something that has often been called the great exchange. The great exchange. See, outside of Christ, before a holy God, we stand before God with our trespasses, with everything that we ever thought, everything we ever said, everything we ever done. We stand before a holy and righteous God. And outside of Christ, our trespasses make us condemned men and women. But what God is saying in and through the gospel of Christ is that Jesus Christ, the blameless, sinless one, Lamb of God, upon the cross, takes your judgment upon himself, takes your trespasses, and then gives you his righteousness. That's the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blameless, sinless Lamb of God taking upon himself our sin and in exchange giving us his righteousness, so that when God looks upon us, when the Father looks upon us, he doesn't see us in our trespasses, but he sees us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the basis for our reconciliation. That is how we have peace with God. That's how we are reconciled to God, reunited to God. It's also the basis of our proclamation. That's the message, the hope that we have to share with all who would listen, all who would hear it. Well, as you would consider, the Christian life is now dynamic. It's changed. We can never look at the world the same. We can never look at people the same. We can never look at anything the same. The gospel, it changes everything for us. It leaves us wrecked to where we can say with Paul, my life is not controlled by the love of Jesus Christ. I cannot do anything but give myself to this one who's given up himself for me. The Christian life is dynamic, but is also focused, because we together have a mission from our Savior, the great commission in which he's given the apostles, but also the church of Jesus Christ. Today, our commission is to make Christ known and to make disciples. And that's why Paul says, this is who you are. You're not only a new creation in Christ, you are my ambassadors. You are an ambassador. Can you say that with me? I am an ambassador. I just want to make sure you're still awake. You are an ambassador if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that represents an authority. Somebody who represents another who is in authority. In our case, it's King Jesus. Jesus Christ is the King of all earth and of all the heavens. He is the King of heaven. And our role as ambassadors, our ministry of reconciliation, is to proclaim the finished work of our King. You see, at the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. The victory is already won. We declare the finished work of Christ. We tell of his soon return. And we offer his terms of peace. Peace is made available. It's made available through Jesus Christ. You know, the USA We have ambassadors in many countries. The USA has embassies, these places where ambassadors, I guess, conduct their business. And it's fascinating to know that whole world and geopolitical, you know, things that are going on outside of the USA. It's fascinating to me. But here's something that's more interesting. Church, we are an embassy. We're an outpost of heaven. We're a colony of heaven. When you look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, we're identified together as heavenly citizens. Listen, you may be a citizen of Gainesville. You may be a citizen of Callisburg, Munster, wherever you live. You're a citizen there. You're a citizen of the U.S. But that's a temporary citizenship. We're passing through. We're in a foreign land, actually. Our permanent citizenship is with King Jesus. And he's going to bring the new heavens and the new earth here. But before he comes, he sent out his emissaries. He's sending you out as ambassadors. He's giving you a ministry so that you would go and proclaim of his finished work and his coming glory. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you thought that way? Do you think of the Christian life in that way? When's the last time that you thought of yourself as an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Do you wake up each day thinking, okay, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, how am I going to live for God? How am I going to put away my agenda and live for God's agenda? As a church, what would happen if we thought this way? What would happen if we together really considered ourselves as an outpost of heaven, a colony of heaven, ambassadors on mission for God? What if we thought that way? What could God do through us if we did? You see, we gather together, just like we are right now. We come to celebrate the finished work of King Jesus. But in a moment, we're going to scatter. We're going to be dismissed. And there, the mission begins. Wherever God has assigned you, wherever God has placed you, whatever family he's called you to, whatever community that you're a part of, wherever your sphere of influence lies, that, my friend, is where God is sending you. That's where you have the chance to represent Christ. If you are reminded today that you are an ambassador of Christ, or if this is the first time you're hearing that, welcome to your initiation. But how do we do this? How do we go about accomplishing this? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that with Paul, we need to die. We need to die to ourselves. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this. He says, look, I die daily. And I don't know about you, if the Apostle Paul needs to die daily, I think we need to die daily as well. But what I find interesting is that in the Christian life, there are certain things that we experience when we first come to Christ. And there are things that we continually experience that reflect those initial experiences that we have with divine grace. Let me give you an example. When you first trust in Jesus Christ, when you first begin to believe and you receive the Lord Jesus, your faith, your trust, your hope is in him. You're made new. You're made a new creature, a new creation. But you don't leave faith behind. The Christian life is continual faith, continual trust, continual belief, a continual walk with the Lord, continually upon his word. You see, the Christian experience is day to day. We live by faith. When you experience repentance for the first time and you turn from your agenda, from your will, from living for yourself, and you turn to Christ for the first time, we call that repentance. We return to the Lord. But here's the thing, the Christian life, the Christian experience is daily repentance. We repent day after day, day after day. In the same way, when we die in Christ, and we are raised together with him with new life, we die once and once and for all.
to have new life once and once and for all. That's why in baptism, it's a one-time ordinance. It's not like the Lord's Supper where we continually practice it. Baptism is a one-time ordinance showing that we died once and for all in Christ. But here's the thing. We need to die daily. Because what's always there lurking about is the temptation to live for ourselves. And when we do that, we forget the mission. We forget our calling. We forget our purpose. We forget our ministries of reconciliation. But our call here today is to be reminded that we've been given the privilege of being reconciled to God in the ministry of reconciliation. So I want to conclude with doing a couple of things. I want to help some of you guys in your particular season of life think through how you can live on mission for Christ today. How can you live on mission for Christ today? If you're a single young person, if you're in high school, if you're in college, or if you're a single and working your careers, praise God, that's awesome. But also consider this. You have the opportunity and the freedom to do things that maybe married people or married people with children cannot do. You have so many options to go and give of yourselves to your friends, to your communities, to volunteering, wherever the Lord would open the door for you to be influential for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a radical opportunity. Don't waste these years while you are single. For those of you who are married, your spouse is your mission. Some of you that have been married a long time, you're saying, well, I've been working on that mission for a long time. But yes, your spouse is the mission God has sent you to. And our call is to build up our spouses, to point them to Christ, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to them. One of the big takeaways that I got from our marriage conference this past year was Paul Tripp. He spoke about your marriage and the ministry to your marriage like tending a garden. And that really resonated with me. He says, listen, when you tend to a garden, if you want a healthy garden, you got to pull the weeds, you got to plant seed, you got to water, you got to nurture. You need a routine of regularly taking care of your garden. In the same way, we have to routinely take care of our marriages, making sure that our marriages are centered upon Jesus Christ. And it's the day-to-day praying with your spouse, sharing in the Word of God with your spouse, conversating of the riches of God's grace with your spouse. That's how we're going to cultivate and minister to our spouses, to our marriages. I think of the same way with children. It's like cultivating a garden as well. If God has blessed you in your home with children, what a great opportunity we have to minister and to serve our children. That's why I'm a proponent of family worship. I want to regularly read and pray with my, I have one child right now, little Ivy, and she's too little, but I can't wait to open the Bible with her, to pray with her, and to point her to Christ. Because here's the thing, God uses these ordinary means. God uses these ordinary means to bring about transformation, to bring about salvation. Our faith and our hope is upon the finished work of Christ. It's amazing how God uses ordinary means to make disciples. Last thing I want to encourage you with, or maybe two more things. If you're going to school, if you're going to college, or if you're working, you have a vocation outside of your home, consider that as your mission field. What a great opportunity. One, yes, to do your work with excellence, because God uses your work to bless culture. And God's using that in awesome ways. But the people you work with, you also have an opportunity to be an ambassador with your coworkers before your boss. Maybe God has put you in the place that he has you so that you might be able to share Christ with a coworker. What an awesome privilege that would be for us. Finally, I want to encourage you to consider that wherever you play, wherever you go to market, wherever you do your shopping, you give your business to, the people that you frequently see when you're out and about and you're conducting business, or if you're in the soccer field or in the baseball fields and you're seeing mom and dad's there routinely, what if we have an opportunity to be ambassadors there as well? Wherever you are, wherever your sphere of influence stretches, maybe that's the opportunity for you to be an ambassador for Christ. The other day, I went to go pick up my daughter. And on the way to go pick her up, I wanted to stop at the gas station. Not because I needed gas, but because I wanted a Snickers ice cream bar. If you ever had a Snickers ice cream bar, oh, now I like Snickers, but the Snickers ice cream bar, woo, that jumps, you know, level 10. Amen. Amen, brother. So I was going to go in and get a Snickers ice cream bar, and I go into the gas station, and I'm looking for the price because I couldn't find the price. And as I'm hunting for the price, the gas station attendant, he starts to talk to me. And he's talking to me, and he's telling me about how stressed he's been lately. And he's saying, yeah, and I work two jobs, and the people at my second job, man, they're crazy. So he's going on and on and on. And I'm thinking as he's talking, man, I got to share Jesus with this guy. And it's just so obvious. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but it's like this guy's just pouring out his heart to me, and he's searching, he's aching, and God is just being as a parent as he's going to be. And I know I got to share Jesus with this guy. So after he gets done, 15, 20 minutes later, I have the opportunity, and I say, you know, I work at Temple Baptist Church, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I would love to just share with you a little bit about Christ. Well, he goes, yeah, well, I'm a man of science, and I don't know. I said, you're a man of science? Me too. I love science, but I also love Jesus, and I just want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. So as I begin to talk about Jesus Christ, this guy picks up his box of ramen noodles, because that was his lunch, and he just walks off. He goes, okay, man, you have a good day. And he starts to heat up his lunch. He's like, all right, we'll see you later. He just blew me off. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? After I listened to you talk for 15 minutes, you can't give me 5? Come on, guy. But I'm thinking, that's okay. Because here's the thing. When we're ambassadors for Christ, sometimes we're going to get blown off. And sometimes we're going to be dismissed. But guess what? We keep proclaiming Christ. I know which gas station to go to now. You know, I know which gas station to frequently visit, because I'm not giving up on this gas station attendant. Just as the love of God was relentless and hunted me down, chased me till I was found, so too I can be a little relentless for others. One of the things I really enjoy doing when I go back home to visit my family is I like looking up old photos. And today, I guess we kind of scroll through our pictures of old photos, but it's particularly fun to go back home to grandma's house, pull out old photo albums. I don't know if younger guys don't know what that is. It's a place where printed pictures are actually exist. And it's fun to go back and see the person I used to be. Back old school pictures of family meetings, gatherings, and how young my grandmother was and my mom was and all that great stuff. But sometimes when I see an old photo and I see a young Julian that did not know the Lord, and I think to myself, man, that guy was hopeless. That person didn't know Jesus Christ. But then I'm reminded that I've been made new. That person is dead and gone, it's passed away, and I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I remember the riches of God's grace. Here's the thing, church family. Sometimes we forget our purpose, our mission, the privilege God has given us to proclaim Christ, to make disciples. But I want you to consider something. When you open up the scripture, and you see the word of God, and you are reminded that you are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would take up the mission again to go out and live for King Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to read from your word. Thank you, Lord, for the assured work of Jesus Christ, who is our hope, who is our salvation, who through him you reconciled us to yourself. And Lord, truly, if that were not enough, you call us to a great purpose in proclaiming Jesus Christ, making disciples together as a church. And Lord, thank you for bringing us together in this season for such a time as this. I pray, Lord, that it would be through your power, the power of your great love, that would control us so that we cannot help but live for you and live on mission for you. May we be ambassadors, thankful for the ministry of reconciliation that we have. And may we live not for ourselves any longer, but for King Jesus, for his name, for his glory. In Christ I pray. Amen.
This concludes a message from Temple Baptist Church. For more information about Temple, or becoming a member, or just visiting for the first time, visit our website at tbcgainesville.org.